Okay, so we'll finish off Reish Ben Pes this week, and then Reish Nun, which gets a little more involved with other things, we'll save for next week. See how long this takes us. But there are actually one thing. It doesn't look like we have very much left, but there is something else that we sort of a loose end that needs to be filled in. So at the very end of Tes Zion, the Rambam makes a comment: "Mashenoagim lifsuk tzedaka over mason, that we establish tzedaka on behalf of the dead, b'shas haskaras nishamos, at the time of haskaras nishamos." What is that? So it sounds like it's referring to what?
Yisker,
yeah. Haskaras nishamos minug basikin hu umahani l'nishmosim. That is an old minug, and it works, and it helps for those nishamos. And he's quoting from the Rokeach there. So what is the quote from the Rokeach? So the Rokeach is how does it work on behalf of the neshamos? So there's two things. So one thing that is discussed. One thing is that if someone close to the mace gives tzedakah, so it's seen as if, oh well, if that person gave tzedakah, if the mace was still alive, they would be giving tzedakah too. And by way of that helps the mace in that way. The other thing is that if it's the child of the mace, so that itself is a zechus for the mace. So if one goes, so if you look at the shach says, "I am Yizeb or Chaim, so Simen Taf Reish Chaf Aleph." What's Simen Taf Reish Chaf Aleph? So that's in the middle of Hilchos Yom Kippurim. So in fact, it doesn't say how often you do shas. It just says the shas of Haskaras and Shamos. So I believe the only reference in Shulchan Aruch itself to a time is here in Hilchos Yom Kippurim. At the end of Simen Taf Reish Chaf Aleph, it says, "No." The Mechaber says, "Nagulu Dirtz Dagos." That we give tzedakah for Yom Kippur on behalf of the Mesim, umaskirim nishmos, and then the Ramah adds in, it seems like it's the Ramah at least, umaskirim nishmosayim the Hamesim gam ken yeshlehem kapar b'yom ha-kippur. That if you remember the nishmosayim of the Mesim, so that also would be a kapar for them on Yom Kippur. So what does that mean? We just mentioned their names, so the Mishnah adds in, no, kishanodrin baburam, when you're taking neder on their behalf, so that's why. So the Mishnah explains, that is the quote from the Rekeach, the Aminan, we say, Ilu Hayachai, Hayanosin Gamkin Staka, because if they were alive, they would also give Staka. But if they're poor, Hayatar Leif Rosalita, they would want to give. Aval Bavur, but then the Mishnah then adds in, Aval Bavur, Russia, Inu Moet, on behalf of Russia, doesn't work, because who says they would be given? But if they did vidui before they died, yishlam or yishlam kapar v'chatzadik chash. Then that could that's a kapar they considered like tzadikim, and we would assume that if they were alive today, they would give tzedakah. And then he adds in at the end, it seems like it's a separate din. When we stop with the im haben nosim biad av, it seems like if a son be given on behalf of the father, b'chol gavni mo'al ha'chol dino. That should always work. Divram mizaka av, as the son has a zechut, or could give a zechusim, or a zechusim for the father. Probably it means that if the son is gaining in merits, so that's coming via the father. That's because the father raised him, gave birth to him, or not gave him birth, but sustained him, and the only reason is, and gave him some chinuch. So therefore, that itself causes a zechus without the need to say, oh, probably if he was alive, he would be giving also. So it sounds like there's two different dinim going on. One is a son doing it, which is an automatic merit for the parent. And the other one is this idea that if you mention their name, so it's like, oh, you bring them into the picture, showing that, oh, never, they're dead, and therefore they can't give tzedakah, but otherwise they would. So those seem to be the two dinim, or the two svaras going on when it comes to Yisker. It is a little unclear where the minhag came from to do Yisker at the end of every Yantif. I think it's quoted as being a minhag from Polish Jews. That's where it started. Is minhag Agra to say Yisker, Bob? Did the Agra say Yisker on Yantif?
It's in the book.
It's in the book that he did?
No, I mean the Yisker's in the book.
It's in the Siddur.
Yeah.
Okay. And without like a note of, you know, like, you know, really, if you're a real Gronik, you're nothing like that. Okay. It comes from Poland, it sounds like. Of course, the shuls need more money. And they... going to add in, and perhaps the basis of doing it on the last day of Yantif is because what we mentioned is this week's Parsha, Aser Taser. That's the laning on the last day of Yantif. The only problem is, it's not always the laning on the last day of Yantif. Aser Taser is what starts the extended version when it's on Shabbos. Right, the idea of giving tzedakah, etc. So, alright, whatever. So maybe that's the what? Right, it's always on Shmini Atzeres. So maybe that's the connection. Yeah, okay, maybe that's the connection It's not the last day of Yom Tov. That's when we say Yisker. So we're good. Okay. All right. So anyways, to take it or leave it, but these are really the two sources in the Shulchan Aruch itself for saying for the saying of Yisker. We would point out that the both of them are premised on the idea that you're giving money. Right? That's the starting point for both of these cases.
What else would you get?
What?
What else would you get?
No, as opposed to nothing. As opposed to just
music. Right. Does it matter how much?
I don't think so. I mean,
I don't mean a penny, but I mean, does it matter?
I don't know if there's any. I didn't see any halachos for minimal givings.
30 people that I say yes
for. That's another question. Does each one need their own?
Do you have time?
What?
What do you have time?
He doesn't do it.
Well,
we all have the sheets of paper.
I don't say that stuff that you guys say to me. Yeah.
Oh, you already get an early start.
I don't have time to say the 11 anymore.
What?
I have less than 30, but I don't have time usually. And then plus Max gives me a list.
Well, you can check the list. All right. So that is useful. Now, I also wanted to tonight maybe round up the issue of Meiser Ksafen.
Well, you said about the son. You said that the son
would be a daughter also.
Would be taught by the father and so on. One of the basis for all this seems to be the story about Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
So in that case, the son, he didn't even know if he had a son. Rabbi Akiva found that his wife had given birth after he died.
Right.
And he educated him, and he gave him a bris, and he got him up to God.
Really? In that story, the son is...
And once he said Kaddish, the guy was gotten out of Gehinnom, it seems. So in that story, it suggests a number of things. One, it has to be a son, because Rabbi Akiva could have said Kaddish for him.
Right.
And also it suggests that, you know, it doesn't even matter. It's the relationship more than what the guy...
Well, the kid is only alive once the father conceived him.
That's
so.
All it really requires.
Okay. Sounds like something, yeah.
That wasn't stuck, that was cut.
But it says in Pirkei Avos, unless this is more like Halacha, Pirkei Avos, where it says that Oysa Mitzvah Achas, whoever calls it, Braklitz Achas Meditation.
Okay.
So I'm saying that... Whatever, does it work that way? Meaning, like, it creates a certain
Ashgoch? I don't know. We mentioned last week that the idea that the Gemara also in this week's based on Aser Taser, where it says that that's the thing that you Aser Bisfil Shetishasher, right? You're going to give in order to make money off of it. So that is only. That's only relative to the mitzvah of tzedakah, and that might be why, and that's actually all it means. It doesn't mean that, oh, you could test Hashem and demand that there be repayment. Rather, it just means you have the right to say, I'm doing this in order to have a schus for whatever it is I have a schus for. So, I don't know. Okay, so if we go to the Ramah mentioned this earlier, but the truth is, I was like, oh, I guess maybe we missed it. But the truth is, the Darkei Moshe here at the end of Siman Reish Mem Tes brings it up again. So that gives us the right, I think, to go back and discuss some of these halachos of Meiser Ksafim. So just a couple of key points with regards to that. So if we go to the Darkei Moshe in the back, at the end of Siman Reish Mem Tes, so he quotes from the...
Oh, there's three places now. Huh?
The Darkei
Moshe
is usually in the...
At the back
in... So the Darkei Moshe on the page of the tour is the Darkei Moshe.
Oh, back to the tour.
Yeah, so on the page of the tour, there is the Darkei Moshe. There's also something called the Darkei Moshe Aruch, which appears in some section. I'm not sure if that... Oh, that is here.
Which was this Kasav Mari?
Which...
Yeah.
And where is that
from? So, and right at the end, there is. Yeah. So right at the end here, it says, "Kasuf Maril Hilchos Rosh Hashanah V'Osan Bnei Adam Hanosin Meiser Shehal Neneiros Beisak Nasas Shalokadin Hemosin." That those people that give their meiser for the candles of the Beis Knesses, I mean, sort of paying off their shul membership with that, so they're not doing the right thing, right? V'Hameiser Shayech L'Hanos Bo Aniyim, because the meiser is supposed to be to benefit the poor. V'Chein Masher Perak Beis Debeit Zedav Chafam Adalf. And as it sounds like from the Gemara and the Now, the truth is, there's no idea of Meiser Ksafen that's mentioned in the Gemara. Like, what is he invoking from a Gemara Maseches Beitzah of Chaf Amaral? It doesn't really tell you what it is. But perhaps But if you open up that daf, so that daf actually it talks about people going to Yerushalayim with their Meiser Sheni money, and where there says that you can't use that money, and you can use once you get to Yerushalayim, then you can use it on things to eat in Yerushalayim, right? I don't think it has to be used for fruit. It could be used for whatever you want. Food. So it says, but you can't, if a person was a Nazir, the Gemara says, and he's Chayav a Korban, so you can't use that money for your Korban. You can't use that money to pay off some other mitzvah obligation that you have. That's what the Gemara says. So comes the Darkei Moshe and says, ah, what do you see? You see that you can't, that the Meiser, that Meiser Ani, Meiser Ksafim money, which we're going to copy, so to speak, label after those ideas, it has to be used for a specific aniyim. It can't be for aniyim. It can't be used for other obligations. That's what the Darkei Moshe says. So however, not everybody agrees to this Darkei Moshe. The main person the main person on the other side of that machlokas is this Maharam. But hold on, before we get to that machlokas that we're about using with regards to Ksafim, I just want to mention a few ha'aros with regards to the mitzvah of Meiser Ksafim. So we've covered in the past a couple of those ideas, for instance, where the money came from. The idea of where we had this whole thing about that if one got wedding presents from the parents, so they have to take Meiser, or from other people, do they have to take Meiser Ksafim off of that money? And they assume that money is already tax exempt. It's already Meiser exempt. Why is it Meiser exempt? Because the money already had Meiser taken off. We presume that the parents took Meiser off of their own money. And this is the money that is left behind. So if they're giving you their cash that was already Meisered, so you have no obligation to take off further Meiser from that money. Right? It doesn't work that way with sales tax, right? That was the court case with the soda tax, right? That they challenged the soda tax and claimed that it was a double taxation, because it's just the regular tax that already exists on it. What? There's a regular sales tax, even on groceries in
on soda. I think there is. Yes.
So the soda tax is on soda.
But certain groceries are taxed.
What?
Certain groceries are taxed, I think.
Right, okay. I think there already was a sales tax on it. And then they wanted to say explicitly there's a soda tax. Yeah. So the court came back and said, no, it's not illegal because the tax, the soda tax is on the store person, technically is on the store person. Yeah, the store person is taxed. It has to pay the tax when they bring in the soda from a distributor. And then, but the reality is they're just passing on the tax to another person. But, okay, no, it's not double taxation because they're different. So we paskin that, no, double taxation is not okay, or not required. You would not be required to pay the second tax, and therefore they are, the Chas and Kala are exempt from paying Meiser Ksafim, assuming that the money that they're getting already was Meiser Ksafimt. Okay. The other thing that comes up often is what about regular house? So the things that are deductible are any business expenses. And in fact, even at Aruch HaShulchan, even adds in that even if you take a business trip and you buy yourself dinner while you're on your business trip, so all of that is considered Meiser Ksafim deductible. All of that is considered a business expense. You're only taking money. You're only taking Meiser off of the profits that that come in. But then he turns around and says, there it is in Sif Zion. Here he says, "Revach nechshav bracha, revach hanaki b'chol atzol shelo al ha'isek. Af mashenase hu b'derech ba'achol b'shasa hakol nechshav al hutzasa ha'isek u'menaka hakol." Right, that all of that, the food and the travel and the train and all of that is considered a business expense, and you can deduct all of it. And only what's left, that's what you're going to have to pay it on. Aval ha'utzos beso lo. Yinaka, I must say Yinaka, I think there's a little bit rubbed out. Lo Yinaka, that's not deductible. That which is just things that are paid for in the house, that you can't, that doesn't get deducted. So, wait a second. So how much of it doesn't get deducted? So first of all, there is a
things you pay for in the house.
So your regular expenses. Yeah, so is it only money that's left off after your basic needs are covered? So,
If you basically say like to think sometimes some people say tuition.
Let's hold on tuition. Tuition, let's hold off on that. Just here, your food and a car, maybe. I mean, what does one need to live? This is part of the Chaz de Eliyahu challenges, right? Does a person need a smartphone to live? Does a person need? Does a person need a car? Do they need two cars? Do they, like, what exactly is a person's living expenses? Whatever one cheshbons that out, does that get deducted or not? So there is a tshuva of the Afkas Rachel. Who is the Afkas Rachel? Very good. Yes, that's Rabbi Yosef Karo's child's tshuva. So this one is a little bit of a shaila, whether this actually is attributed to him. Where he says yes, then you can deduct all living expenses. So many argue on him. Some say that that's a forgery, or he didn't write it, or he didn't mean it, or that tshuva was added in or something. And many deduct that tshuva of the Afkas Rachel, chief among them the Aruch HaShulchan. However, so I remember. Like, this is a dumber question that you do deduct it. Where did I get that from? So I used to teach, when I taught in Torah Academy, so I remember teaching Hilchos Tzedakah, and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch just says it. We taught out Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch just says it. If you're ever trying to find a kula in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch anywhere, right, so you got one. One. That's it. But that is actually quoted in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. However, even that also was a forgery. In fact, it's not found in the first edition of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That line, I forgot what the line is. Here he might have that line. That line where it says that you can deduct somehow, it seems like it got added after the first edition. Doesn't mean it wasn't added by the Kitzur. Doesn't mean it wasn't added by Shlomo Gansfried. Just means it wasn't part of the first edition. However, there is a Tzitz Eliezer that says, well, yeah, all of that is true. However, keep in mind that Maaser Ksavim is really subject A, to Minhag, and B, to Chumrah. Meaning, it is itself, in its own right, it is a stringent. It's like it's something that people take upon themselves to pay. You can't really say in the first place that it's a Chiyuv. So that being the case, so a person could take it on. Okay, I'm going to take off Maaser Ksavim. Post expenses, right? That's the way I'm going to define the Maaser Ksavim that I'm going to that I'm actually going to pay. So that Tzitz Eliezer is very helpful in trying to figure out what, especially people that don't necessarily earn so much but still would like to fulfill some parts of Maaser Ksavim. That is a helpful tshuva to have.
So they agree that he can subtract expenses.
He says. Tzitz Eliezer says you could, but first of all, but he also adds in that has to be your premise beforehand. I mean, when one takes upon themselves this chumrah, so at that point they have to state that that's the way they're going to do it.
And which expenses, I would guess, you would have to delineate.
Well, you could say my basic living expenses and right. leave it up to later to kind of decide where that would be, or ask Shilas at that point. But if one did not take that on from the beginning, says the Tzitz Eliezer, if this gets into Rabbi Pransky's shir from a couple of weeks ago, so then one would have to do a Taras Nedarim, right? If one takes upon themselves the chumra of, or the hanhaga tova of giving Maaser Ksavim, so they say, okay, I'm doing Maaser Ksavim as most of the poskim say. Right, so then to turn around later and say, okay, but I'm going to paskin like the Tzitz Eliezer, or maybe what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch said, or maybe what the Afkas Rachel said later on. So that would then require a Taras Nedarim, because that seems to go against the majority of poskim. Another thought along these topics are taxes. So we have quoted a couple of weeks ago this shuv from Rav Moshe about taking off more than a fifth. I didn't bring it with me. Take off more than a fifth, and there was a sa'ara from Rav Tendler about. I forgot what it was. Darn. I don't remember if I'm going to be able to find it. So, in the beginning of that tshuva, I looked up the tshuva. In the beginning of that tshuva, he says explicitly that this is all post tax. That you would only take anything post your income taxes, so that then would not. Okay, but what about other taxes? All right, so that he adds in that's a machlokas then in the Maaser Ksavim book, written by those British people that I have at home and forgot to bring. So he suggests that that's a machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Weiss about whether one could deduct other taxes that are taken. I believe Rav Moshe is on the machmir side of that.
The other holds you to take other taxes?
I mean, you can all the sales tax you pay.
Wow.
Right, would that then be deductible? Or property taxes? Property taxes would then be a huge distinction. Especially, I don't know. Since we moved here, I think they've more than doubled in the last 10 years. What?
They're going up again.
And they're going up again. Wonderful. Not in Philadelphia.
Yes, in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia also.
They started to raise the assessments. Uh-huh. Crazy. My assessment is triple what it was last year.
You mean the house is triple? Like the assessment of the house?
They decided to triple the value of the assessment. Because last year they actually dropped the assessment to about half what it was. And now they tripled it, so it's now like 50% more than it was.
So there's people moving into the area.
I don't know what they're doing. They say you can protest. But I don't know. How do you protest something that's completely irrational to begin with? It doesn't make sense.
Call Jay Kanan.
I protested once with my house and they reduced it.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's knocking on the door window.
In government park?
No, here.
Which door?
Don't be afraid. I'm going.
Is this somebody we know?
I don't know. Second
did you?
You know what? I will take a break. And
this door?
Use the. He was. It was.
Yeah.
And he was pointing.
Yeah. I'm going to come around.
I will use the rest of the time.
This break in the action has been brought to you by
drop you if you want.
He wasn't sure before. I guess he came back.
Okay, so
I have to check before we leave.
Okay, so then with regards to what are there other things that are deductible? So if we recall, the Rama in the beginning, in probably he is alluding to Meiser Ksafim. He quoted this idea that he says Ve'in lasos be Meiser shlo davar mitzvah. He go neiros lebeis haknesses shar davar mitzvah. Right, the Rama said that you can't use, which is that quote from Dark Emotion. You can't use it. It seems like it was specifically a tshuva about this these candles for the beis haknesses or for other davar mitzvah. That doesn't work. Just you have to give it to Anim. That's the chumrah. That is what the that is what he says. However. Here. So he says, however, so does that mean that you can't use it for any Dvar Mitzvah? So that is like the biggest issue in Hilchos Meiser Ksafim. Can you use it for any Dvar Mitzvah? So there is a other tzad to that, and that is the Chuvas Ma'aram. That's the Chuvas that seems to always be on the other side, that he permits using the Meiser money for Mitzvah. So sounds like it's just a machlokas. That's okay. Like, we should be okay with that being a machlokas.
But it's not master money if you do something else with it.
No, I have my money that's set aside as my meiser ksafa money. So can I then use it to buy my lulav?
Yeah, but it's
can
not
I use it to pay tuition? So Joel says, of course not. Then it's not that it's called meiser ksafim. It's supposed to go to poor people, right? You're like the Rama. That's what the Rama says. So this Maharam says, no, you could use it for the shul. You can pay for shul membership.
Yeah, can you?
Well, is that our question? But why? Well,
but it's not money I designated for Stockholm. I mean, I can maybe.
Well, if you separated it.
The U.S. government is deductible.
Right. So do we follow the U.S. government for what's deductible and what's not? Are we more machmir than the U.S. government and say, no, not any tax deductible institution has to go to the poor? Or maybe we're even more makel than the U.S. government and say, no, even if it goes towards the divrei mitzvah, right? Buying mezuzos is not tax deductible. I send my sales tax checks. It's very annoying. People find it very annoying to pay sales tax on this stuff. It's like, what?
It's terrible.
You buy a pair of tefillin and then you got to pay $30 sales tax. Like, it is frustrating. But
you must go into what you give the money to the American Cancer Society.
But can you use your Meister Ksafa money for this? So there are. So at first glance, it seems like it's just a machlokas. The Rama says no, and the Maharam says yes. So there are, however, several approaches that he details here in the Pesachim with Chivos that to say that no, they're not necessarily a machlokas. Rather, they're just. Rather, there are ways of deciphering it. So he says, first of all, the Meiser Ksafim, one answer that he gives is from the Be'er Gula, and it also sounds like that way from the Be'er Hagra, is that you can only spend Meiser Ksafim money on mitzvos that are not chiyuvim, that are not obligatory. So you can't spend, you've heard this before, so you can't spend that on a lulav, because you're mechuyev to have a lulav, right? You can't spend it on your mezuzahs, you're required to have a mezuzah. But you could spend it on things that perhaps one is not mechuyev, not one is not totally obligated to pay. So that where would that leave shul membership? So some suggest you're, what are you talking about? You're absolutely obligated to pay shul membership. So I'm not, as much as I want everybody to pay their shul membership, I'm not sure that halakhically that is the case. People can, I don't think we have like the power of the, of the organized kahilos of Europe to be able to enforce any real penalties at people that aren't up to date with their shul memberships, and that probably does fall under the category of something that somebody could use their Meister Ksufim for.
So you can get credit from Meister Ksufim by paying your shul dues.
Right. Hmm. Right. That you could actually use your things for that. Now,
I mean, because another way of approaching it would be to say that your shul dues, just like your taxes and everything.
Yes,
you know, like,
that's Meister Ksufim deductible.
Yeah.
Right. So I think shul dues you can actually use your Meister Ksufim money for, because it's not obligatory. Obligatory mitzvahs, so then one could claim that would then be Meister Ksufim deductible. I mean, that if one goes like that, Tzitz Eliezer that we quoted before, and says that it's only for things, that anything that's a necessity is not going to go into the cheshbon, so then... Okay, so then your lulav and esrog on Sukkot is also something that's a necessity. You know that too. I don't know, is it really a necessity? Does everybody really need to have their own lulav and esrog? So I think that's assumed to be, just like, to assume that people might need a cell phone, it's assumed that people need their own lulav and esrog, even though perhaps one can make a case that, what do you mean, if you're on a fixed income, maybe that's not the best thing that one should be spending their money on.
If it was obligated, you were obligated, it couldn't be included. You said now it can be.
So if you're obligated, it's Meister Ksufim deductible, right? That would then go on the ledger of things that are absolute requirements, and therefore doesn't enter into the Meister Ksufim picture, right? So there's really three levels. One is it doesn't count. The second one is you could use your Meister Ksufim money on it, or be it maybe Meister Ksufim deductible. So that would probably be Meister Ksufim deductible. If one goes like that, Tzitz Eliezer. Another, and that's where the school tuition issue comes in as well. Right? The school tuition, so he actually suggests, if you're not going like the Tzitz Eliezer, so maybe you would actually split your school tuition, because paying Talmud Torah for your own kids, that's actually a chiyuv. Right? One is responsible to make sure the kids learn. If you're not going to teach them yourself, so then that qualifies as a chiyuv. But the other part of it, now they are responsible to teach them a trade, but I'm not sure you're responsible to teach them, you know, gym class. You know, like, there could be one could make a case that parts of tuition are more deductible, or perhaps one could even use their Meister Ksufim money on it than others. Also, thinking, keeping in mind with schools that you talk to people that have been on school boards. Well, I don't know if you've been, but both of you, right? How much of your tuition is for yourself versus how much of your tuition is sort of covering others that are coming up short, right? So if that's the case, so then that's tzedakah money, that's not really tuition money. So then that kind of amount would be considered totally my success.
What about your kids that are older? And out of the house.
Right. So that too, technically there's no chiyuv for them right. anymore. Right, and one could even make the case that they're technically anim. Right. Now, I think the way to ultimately, where this ultimately falls down, is a different one of the answers that he gives here in order to decipher that issue, and that is that the Rama really does assume that one can do it, that one could spend their Meister Ksufim money on these types of things, but it needs to still go to the poor. I mean, a person could probably make cheshbonos on all the Meister Ksufim money and use it for themselves, right? Just like I could use all the money that comes up from my business and use it on like house things that sort of count towards my business. I could buy a car technically with business money and deduct it all out of taxes. So one could probably make that case with regards to the Meister Ksufim money. So I think what some suggest the Rama is really just simply saying is that make sure that a lot of your Meister Ksufim money is actually going to poor people. That really is what the minhag is. Even though technically one could perhaps cipher some money off for your own mitzvah needs, certainly even especially when they're like they talk about buying svarim, and the svarim would be available for other people to use. So you could use your Meister Ksufim money on that. Okay, fine. But one should certainly make sure that a good percentage of their Meister Ksufim money is actually going to support the poor, and probably where that line is probably fits. It probably is a question of minukam, what the minuk is. Now, how do you know what the minukam akum is? So that, I don't know. You can talk to Bob. about the, from his Chaz Eliyahu perspective, what should be the minhag
amakom? What do you do when you find out that you know you're way over?
way over the Maisik Sefer.
Way over, and then there's, you know, and there's 100 people a year come to your door. What do you say to them?
Oh, over 50%? Or over 20%?
No, you're way over your Maisik. You've given.
You're over 10%.
You're all way over, yeah.
I don't love to give up to 20 anymore.
Right.
So I want 20.
Yeah, right. And then, but you're not going to do it. You can say, I'm sorry, I'm over.
Okay. All right, so stop here. Next week is actually the truth is that's really the next sugya. The next sugya is how much of a responsibility is on each and every person. That's the title of the next simon. How much are you supposed to really give to each individual, particularly when living in a community? The musician next week will discuss some of those issues.